Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. This week, we head out on the water in one of Southeast Asia's busiest cities. Our tour guide today is Monocle's Nick Manise.
Once affectionately nicknamed the Venice of the East, Bangkok is a city defined by its vast network of rivers and canals, or klongs as they're called in Thai. Each day, thousands of commuters travel by boat on klongs and the majestic Chao Phraya River. And whilst Venice might have gondolas, Bangkok offers a far more thrilling alternative, high-speed shuttle boats. I've just travelled on one of these along the San Sap, a narrow klong that cuts through the heart of the city's traffic-congested commercial districts. Running on an east-west axis across Bangkok, this 18-kilometre stretch of water is served by 100 boats, carrying over 60,000 passengers a day, moving you across the city quicker than you ever could by car. It's an inexpensive and adrenaline-pumping journey, with the boat flying past street art, shacks on stilts and expensive condos. The ad hoc feel and chaotic nature of the service add to its appeal. Staff check tickets by swinging on ropes on the outside of the boat. It feels like Cirque du Soleil, only it's more impressive because they're on water and wearing flip-flops. It's a unique way to get around and offers transit that's grounded in a sense of place. You get a real feel for Bangkok's urban identity. Until the early 20th century, klongs were the city's lifeblood, its main means of circulation and transport. Today, they're still used by a lot of people, commuters and tourists alike, but they only make up a tiny portion of the city's total transit modal share. Bangkok sits on land crisscrossed by natural watercourses. Like many Thai cities, moats and canals were dug for protection, drainage, transport and trade. By 1850, this combination had created a vast water and movement network that stretched hundreds of kilometres, with the man-made island of Ratanakosin in its heart, housing the royal palace and the city's elite. The people of Bangkok's lives were directly connected to the water, with houses, public spaces and temples all facing onto the klongs. However, European influence in the late 19th century saw the city gradually shift away from the klongs and towards a new road-based transport and movement network. Pressure from foreign diplomats and merchants under King Rama IV saw the first few steps taken in this new direction. As the city's population grew, private vehicle ownership soared and expansion became centred on roads. Buildings, which traditionally faced the klongs, were now being built to interface with the road. Public life was moving away from the water and onto the streets. The klongs, which were as much a part of Bangkok life as a good Thai sticky rice, were now a cultural and literal backwater. Today, many of the klongs have been paved over to provide more space for cars. However, the network that remains is still extensive, highlighting just how deeply klongs are embedded in the city's urban fabric. Boat services, like the one on the San Sap, are a reminder of the city's history and hint at the hidden potential of the klongs. Already, San Sap is well connected to wider Bangkok, with pedestrian and walking links to the BTS SkyTrain, the MRT Metro, and famous Siam Square Mall. It's not as shiny and high-tech as the city's metro and elevated rail, but travel speeds are rapid and unimpeded, with cheap implementation costs. It shows that in the 21st century, klong transit still has a lot to offer the city and its people. This observation isn't lost on the Bangkok Municipal Administration. Since 2016, the government has made concerted efforts to improve the network by trialling and introducing additional boat routes on previously unserviced klongs. Add to this, clean-up efforts driven by the national government, and klongs could soon become verdant public places that provide an escape from the concrete jungle as well as fast transport. In an age of rapid urban development, it's a great example of how cities can tap into their dormant historical and natural assets to bring renewed urban life and efficiencies. A ride on the San Sap is the closest you'll get to experiencing why they used to call it the Venice of the East. I'd like to see the city return its klongs to their former glory and place of importance. After all, who wouldn't want to commute to work this way? A ride on a speedboat through a narrow canal, flying beneath low-slung bridges, that'll give you more of a buzz than your double-shot espresso ever could.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. And our thanks to Nick Manise for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.